evening and welcome to In the Trenches. I'm John Coffey. Normally we have Rich Wright with us to begin the show, but he's got some duties with his defensive line here this evening as we have homecoming weekend coming up. But we have a stellar group here for the show here tonight with a co-defensive coordinator and linebackers coach Chad Bostwick, along with wide receiver coach Zach Martin, also defensive back special teams coach and recruiting coordinator Brandon Clayton. And a little bit we'll talk with a former wide receiver for the Bearcats, Abe Quad. So we got a good show on hand, and we are outside again tonight for the show. And I guess, first of all, guys, I think a couple days ago, probably wouldn't have thought we'd be outside as close as it was.
But. Well, we were outside of practice on Tuesday. Coach Sturdy was dressed up like the Nook from the North. He had every bit of clothing on in his locker room. It was pretty funny. But it was pretty chilly out there on Tuesday, especially. Wednesday was a little better.
Boy, I don't doubt that at all. We were doing a little trunk or treat thing over at the Eugene Field Elementary School, and we got parked right in front of a tree and in the shade with that wind. It was a little chilly there.
Oh, man.
Again, Chad Bostwick there talking with us. And, guys, we got a special weekend coming up, a homecoming weekend, and that always means a lot at Northwest Missouri State, and also for the football team. You guys just do a heck of a job with everything that goes on that and keeping the team focused during a week like this.
Yeah, we always talk to them. Our biggest job, we got one job, and that's win the football game. So trying to eliminate distractions throughout the week, but also kind of understanding that there's going to be a lot of alumni, a lot of former players, and a lot of people in Bearcat Stadium that, you know, want to see us play well and want to see that we're on the right track.
Again, that's Brandon Clayton and Zach Martin. Just kind of talk about what you see as some of the important things with this homecoming weekend here.
Yeah, a little bit what Coach Clayton said. You got to eliminate the distractions. You know, there's a lot that goes on during homecoming, and you want to play well because there's a lot of former Bearcats that's going to be there watching you. So you got to prepare just like it's any other game. But have the understanding that there's going to be a lot of eyes on this game, and it doesn't matter who we're playing. We just got to play well. So I think our kids will be ready to go. They'll be excited, and it'll be a great crowd, and it'll be a lot of fun for them.
Now, before we talk about some of the homecoming memories you all have, being former players as well as coaching here at Northwest Missouri State, I'd talk a little bit about last week and the exciting win over Washburn. And that was a big win for you guys against a very good Ichabod team, and one of those where you guys had it all the way to the very end, right?
No, you felt good about it going into the fourth quarter, and then defensively we just couldn't make a play to get off the field, and kind of struggled a little bit there in that regard, and credit to their quarterback. You know, we tried to give him different looks, different coverages, and he did a good job of getting the ball out when he had to. And then obviously the fourth down run at the end, that was really heartbreaking for us at the moment. And then offense bailed us out at the end, and Cole Lamb on our field goal team.
And 24 seconds left, that's all you guys needed then, right?
That's right, just like 13 seconds for KC. We needed 24, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
And Brandon, let's just talk a little bit about the importance of that kickoff return that Kashawn Griffin had right after that. He really set things up and took a wide, maybe a yard or two deep in the end zone, got it out to the 38-yard line. That was very key to what took place after that.
Absolutely. We always talk about making an explosive play on special teams, and our return team not only set us up for that one, they set us up for a big score at the end of the half as well, too. We hit a big return there, gave our offense a chance to kind of go down the field and add a touchdown, which really helped us get a little bit of momentum and finish the half. And then, like you mentioned, the same thing happened there at the end of the football game. Why they kicked it to him, I have no idea, but I'm glad they did, and he made a big play to set our offense up. We only needed two completions after that and to get Cole in position to make a kick.
Now, you talk about kicking it to Griffin. One of the things that might play a factor in that a bit is he's missed some time, hasn't been returned a lot just due to that injury he's had, been battling throughout the season, where maybe they didn't realize how explosive
I don't think they knew he was out there.
Yeah, I don't know what. But obviously for us, he's a difference maker on the punt return team if we can do a better job of blocking for him. But in the kick return, I mean, he's a dangerous guy, and you saw him catch a screen and make some plays on offense as well.
How much of a factor, and you alluded to as well, the drive there at the end of the first half, when he came back out there in similar situation there at the end of the game, was there maybe a little bit of a confidence boost after what took place there at halftime that knew you guys could do it again here?
Absolutely. I think so. I won't speak for the offense, but when you give them good field position like that, and we kind of talk about the field position in the chart, the chances of getting points out of those drives when you give them the ball around midfield go up tremendously.
And, Zach, you had a lot of receivers that really stepped up big throughout the entire ball game, but a couple big catches there on that last drive, too.
Yeah. We, you know, Kashawn, KG, we call him, but he had a great week of practice, and I had a feeling that he was going to be able to take a step and play a complete game. You know, up to this point, he hadn't played more than 20, 22 plays, and then he finally was able to play the amount of plays that we'd want to get him in for and return. We haven't actually had him on kickoff return a little bit just because that's where he got injured against UCM, so we've tried to limit him, you know, hits that he takes. But, you know, KG made plays. Jamar Moya, who played receiver as a junior for us, who catches balls out of the backfield all the time. And then Rashad Shelton stepped up, number eight. He played well with Trayvon Alexander being out. So I was proud of him as well. He practiced great too. So, you know, we were down two starting receivers last week, down a starting quarterback. And, you know, one thing I noticed on the sideline right when, you know, Washburn scored to go ahead, the first person I heard, it was, by the way, it was crickets in the stadium. So the first person I heard was Mike Owens. He say, "All right, we just got to score again, boys. Let's go." So that, to me, that's a competitive spirit of that young man to be able to bring us down. And, you know, it's just, it was pretty impressive.
You don't like to see it go together. Sure.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Not.
And I really thought he maybe put together his most complete game in Bearcat uniform.
Yeah, he did. He's a gunslinger, man. You know, he's going to make you scratch your head sometimes, but he's going to compete every single snap. So, I can appreciate that about him. He does not lack confidence, as what Coach Boswick said, and he's not afraid to take a hit either. He'll keep getting back up. So, you know, both our quarterbacks do a phenomenal job. We got to try to keep them cleaner. Obviously, that's on us a little bit, and we got to protect a little bit better. But we gave him enough time at the end there where it mattered. And got down the field, and you know, our field goal team did a phenomenal job at the end there too, having a clean protection to get the ball up in the air.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's something too that talked a little bit with Rich about after the game too. But a lot of things that people don't think about, that it's not only just on the kicker itself and something like that. The snap has to be clean, and the holder has to put it down. The blocking has to be there. There's a lot that goes into a successful field goal.
Yes, and those kids bought into it. They understood the situation that we were in. They knew they had to protect well. Washburn has shown to block some kicks. I know they got one earlier in the year against Central Missouri. They run a really good edge. So that's why you work that. That's why we do that every Tuesday and Wednesday at practice, at the beginning of practice, and kind of work on those and talk about the details and watch it and review it. So when you get in those situations, you can execute at a high level.
Now, you talked, too, about Kashawn getting back and doing a lot of things. I think one of the things that was fun to see, he had that big, long return and dive into the end zone for a touchdown. Where got five, I think, had a chance to see the explosiveness that he has out there and the speed that he can give that offense when he's healthy.
Yeah. We've been waiting to see it. Obviously, he hasn't gotten loose as many times as we'd want, and it's due to his heel injury that he had. He's an explosive kid. Great young man too. You know, he came here, he got here August 1st. So, getting him involved in our system is, you know, you can only imagine learning an offensive college system, you know, and he's in month three doing that. So getting him involved, doing things that he does well off the bat, and then just bringing him along and getting him more comfortable. You know, obviously we would have liked to have that game earlier, but just with the injury situation, it wasn't able to happen. But he's a, you know, he loves football. He loves the game. And we're excited, you know, what the future brings with him.
Sure. I would think, too, that just having that threat like that opens up a lot of other things away from what he does out on the, because they have to worry about that.
There's no doubt. You know, obviously that allows you the ability to go over the top. You know, it should open up some things in the run game, some underneath routes as well. You know, we had Keegan Sturdy made a good play on an out route catch and broke a tackle. So, you know, when you can go over the top, I know the DB's coach will tell you that'll scare you. That'll scare you, and that'll keep you out of, you know, some situations coverage-wise that allow other guys to make plays too.
All right, let's talk a little bit on the defensive side here too. Going into the game, Washburn had done a very good job, I think, up to this point in the season, really protecting their quarterback. If I understand, I think maybe one sack on the season. You guys had seven on the day. Yeah. Totally, you guys just found a way to not only – make sacks against Monsic, but also just pressure him a lot throughout the entire game.
Yeah, we wanted to try to come up with a plan to make him uncomfortable early, and we did a good job of that. Coach Wright, you know, he does with the D-line. He's going to find a way to get those guys back there. So ideally, we'd love to rush with four. Sometimes we'd rush with three on Saturday. and be able to play some coverage. One thing we got to do a better job in our back seven or eight is getting hands on receivers and giving those guys time, that extra time to get home and make a hit or make them even more uncomfortable back there. So that's something we really stressed all week long this week.
And Brandon, I know that we talked on the offensive side about some of the injuries, but you have a little bit of some injuries on the back end there too that you have to deal with.
Yeah, Shane Fredrickson obviously didn't play. He's one guy we're really happy to have back this week in a secondary. So, you know, a couple guys been nicked up here and there, but you know, we just got to play better as a young group. They're growing, they're learning, they're experiencing situations, and obviously the fourth quarter we kind of let it get away from us a little bit. But hopefully it's something they can learn from. You don't want to play with fire too many times and kind of grow from it going forward.
And a big game, really a must game to have as you look at the rest of the season here with some of the tough games coming up as well. Looking at the playoff possibilities, you really couldn't drop that game.
No, that was a must win for sure, and they all are from here on out. We're in playoff mode, you know, every single week. So and that's what we've been talking to our kids about. And it starts in practice, preparation, film room, all that stuff, just being ready to go for each game Saturday, no matter who you're playing, as Zach alluded to earlier. It's a faceless opponent every week, and we got to try to play at our highest level each and every weekend.
Again, we are broadcasting live from A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville, out on the patio again this week. And when we come back, we'll bring in Abe Quad, a former Bearcat wide receiver, and he'll join the discussion here as we talk about Abe's career as well as homecoming memories. That's all coming up right after this timeout on the End of the Trenches with head coach Rich Wright.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from the United States Air Force, offering more than 130 career choices, education, benefits, and more. Full-time opportunities are available now. For more information, Technical Sergeant Katrina Smith can be reached at 816-341-8227 or airforce.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from United Country Property Solutions, LLC, welcoming Phil and Amy Schreck to the Maryville team. United Country Property Solutions specializes in selling land and country homes serving Missouri and Kansas. Brokers Bob Carlson and Dan McChristie.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is underwritten by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Greek night every Friday, banquet rooms, and more. For additional information, agrestaurant.com.
And welcome back to our In the Trenches program as we talk Bearcat football this evening. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, with us here for tonight's program, co-defensive coordinator and linebackers coach Chad Bostwick, again, wide receivers coach Zach Martin, and defensive back special teams and recruiting coordinator Brandon Clayton, and Abe Quad joining us, who is a wide receiver for the Bearcats back from 2005 through 2009. And Abe, it's really good to have you on the program here tonight.
Honor to be here, John. I've been listening to your voice for a long time. I've heard you speak about me, and just a pleasure to be on the same call with you right now.
It's great to have you with us on the show, and you might explain why you're here on a Thursday night.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to try to give back to Northwest, and the way I'm trying to do that is through the foundation. I'm a member on the board, and just trying to do my part to see how I can continue to help the Northwest raise money and make sure we're doing the right things. We got a lot of really great alumni on this board. I'm learning a lot. It's my second meeting, but that's why I'm on here. I'm here on a Wednesday and plan to go back after the game Saturday.
All right. Well, sounds good there. Looking at your career, it seemed like you finished off the year about every year down in Florence, Alabama, and finished up with the national championship there in 09.
Well, that's the, you know, I tell everyone, I played on a lot of really great teams, and I did my job. I was I blocked for Xavier. I blocked for LaRon. I ran the right routes. I just did what I could. But I was fortunate enough to be on teams that went to the national championship every year. We were undefeated throughout the MIAA in every year, and it was just a great run, and we capped it off in 09 with winning the national championship, and just definitely very excited and grateful that I was able to play in 60 games. When you go to the playoffs every year, you know, you play in a lot of football games, and it was pretty cool to be out there and just do my part for the team and be a Bearcat.
And really, all of you that are with us here on the show here tonight had a lot of success in playoffs as well. And you look at the number of games, extra games you were able to play, it amounts to almost maybe a complete extra season or two that all of you had a chance to play.
Yeah, when he said that, I was just, whoa. I mean, that's crazy. 60 games in a college career, that's unbelievable. But no, getting those extra practices every single year, you make the playoffs. I mean, that's just, it's great for the development of the guys and it, as a player. You know, you get those extra practices, good competition every day. And, you know, it's you kind of see that for the future. So,
you know, Abe, one thing I wanted to touch on before we get into more about homecoming and everything was just the night 2007, that the serious situation you had with the burn injuries and how you were able to come back so soon after all that and contribute in the football the very next season.
Yeah, well, first, you know, I pray to God. I'm very, you know, thankful. And I had a great staff, Kelly Quinlan, Joe Quinlan. You know, one person helped me rehab and the other person helped me condition myself, and I was just thankful to be in that scenario. And, you know, I had a lot of great teammates motivating me the entire time, and it was very easy to come back and play and gave me a goal to really try to get over that scenario. So, you know, I'm still scarred in my legs, hips to my ankles, but they're healing well, and it's something that's always going to be a part of my past. But I'm very thankful for, you know, the Quinlan family and the Bearcat family and Coach Churchman and everybody around to help me, you know, mentally get through that and physically as well. And I never missed a game, and I'm very proud of that. I'm just upset that the opening game that year got rained out. So I was like, geez Louise, all this practice, finally get out here, and we have to shut down the game. But the next week I caught a pass from Matthews at UNO, and that was really special.
Do you think that having that goal of getting back and playing football really aided you a little bit in what you needed to do to come back?
Absolutely. I think that I was in a position to go to a dark place there, and football and Northwest and Maryville and the Bearcat community and everything around me just really helped me get through that really fast. So very appreciative of everyone involved.
We might just talk about some of the memories you have. Obviously, playing in those years at Northwest and homecomings means a lot to, I think, everyone that's gone through the program here. What are some things you think of when you look at those years?
Well, you know, we want to make sure we dressed right, you know, as receivers and things. We got extra pretty on homecoming. We knew that.
We'll swag.
We, you know, a little extra swagger. Like these guys said, you know, alumni come back. You're expecting a packed house and all the Bearcat pride things to go along, and we really tried to strive to get our twos in, you know, like we never overlook any opponent, but we really want to put as much points on the, you know, board as possible during homecoming, because we felt as if that was the time to get, you know, some of the guys that deserve to play a little bit more in there. But my senior year, Washburn came up and gave us a little bit of extra run for our money, and Bowles had to run for a couple first downs, and LaRon punches it in overtime, and we got away with that. And you know, that's something that is really special to me. And but homecoming is always a great time. Really looking forward to this weekend. 06 team's getting inducted to the M Club, so we'll be recognized at halftime. So that'll be special. That was a great team, undefeated throughout until the last game. But man, some really great players on that team. And but homecoming is very special, and just a time to come home for Bearcats.
For the rest of you, what are some of the memories you guys have of homecoming?
That game he just mentioned is one for sure. I believe that was 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we lost about every safety and defensive back that we – I mean, Miles Burnside, I think, got hit in the head or something and went out of the game. Al Foster Reddick got thrown out of the game. We're missing another safety, and we had probably a walk-on that hadn't practiced very much and another kid in the football game trying to finish that thing out in overtime versus a very good Washburn team. So that one sticks out for sure. I'm drawing a blank on other ones. That's so long ago. I started thinking about it now that I've been out of football for so long. But that one for sure was fun. Stressful at the time, like it was kind of this past weekend. But we've always had some great battles against Washburns in those situations. But that one for sure.
And Chad, I think if I understand right, you had the Don Black Award?
Yes.
Yeah, I did my junior year. Yep. That was pretty special. It was junior year we played Missouri Southern. I had a pick six off of a fake punt. The punter threw it right to me, and all I had to do was go run it in for a touchdown. And so I had a pick six and a sack and a couple TFLs, and I guess they wanted to give me the Don Black Award. So.
There you go.
No, it was pretty cool.
All right, and Zach, what's some of the memories you have?
You know, we played my junior year, I think I was talking about earlier, we played Pitt State, and that was the crazy interception on the goal line. Kevin Berg picked it, pitched it, or we pitched it a bunch of laterals. Number one, it was the number one play on SportsCenter. I remember that playing during that night or whatever. It was crazy. Coach Wright's running down the sideline. I've never seen him run that fast ever since then. So it was that was a cool one. Then we played Lindenwood my senior year when I was playing starting. We grinded out it. I think it was like 27-0 or something. Another one of the 10 shutouts they had that year or whatever it might be. You know, the one last year was, to me, that was crazy. We came in. That was basically the MIAA championship. So. You know, for us to come out and play that way, started off with the kick return by Caden Davis and really set the tone for the rest of the day. Obviously, the year prior to COVID, we had lost to Kearney, and our kids were ready to roll for that game. So, you know, I thought that one was, you know, I wasn't playing then, but coaching was a lot of fun to watch those guys prepare the way they did that week and go out and execute the way they did and really jump on a team from the start to the finish and didn't stop. So, yeah, those were kind of the ones that, you know, I've only been here for 6 years, so I don't have as many memories as these guys totally yet. But
there was a couple of bad ones in there, too. I think we lost to Truman, if I remember, 0-1, redshirt freshman. That was a bad – the hickory stick game, you know, we don't play that game anymore, but that was one. And then I think it was 2014 when we played Pitt. We set the attendance record, and we got beat at home on homecoming, so – that was a bummer.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of a bummer. So, and they didn't just beat us; they beat the brakes off us that day too. So it was rough.
Yeah, I guess you have a few of those, but the most part, it's been pretty
100%.
Good. There's been a lot of celebrating for homecoming through the years here.
No doubt.
I think one thing too that's kind of special on the football side of things for homecoming, we just look on the sidelines behind you guys while you're out there coaching the team on the bench. How many former guys like Abe and others that come back and are sitting back there just kind of cheering you guys on from the sidelines?
Yeah, there should be quite a bit. There should be some guys that come back tomorrow and Saturday. They'll be on the sideline. I know Bowles is coming back into town. I know some guys from the 06 team will be here and. You know, we should be, you know, a lot of good alumni football players on there. But I want to say something when he won the Don Black Award, because I was there, too. I played a few games. I remember in my mind when he held the award how proud Scott was, Bostwick. And that's the memory that sticks in my mind. He really, you know, really balled out that game. And just that smile and that, you know, just feeling proud that his family member won that award. It was really cool, special day. So that was another really cool homecoming moment that I want to make sure I got across, because the man is right here next to me.
That's right. That's
appreciate it, Abe.
Yes.
And what's it mean to you guys when while you're coaching, but maybe seeing some of your former teammates come back for this weekend?
It's a big family reunion is what it is. You know, that's one thing that we've tried to carry on and keep going through the years is getting as many guys of our former players on the sideline as we can, help, you know, make those guys feel welcome anytime, because we're a family. I mean, it doesn't matter what generation you play in, we're all Bearcats and everybody wants to win. So,
you know, one thing that I've talked with Rich about in the past is how you talk about the family atmosphere and everything, but where you guys kind of meet after the games and where you not only talk football but also meet with some of the current players and kind of set them up with some business opportunities or ideas for the job leads when you get out and get in the, you know, the job market and things, where there is a pretty big connection there that you guys can kind of play off of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk about family, we talk about culture and all of those things. That's a big part of it, is making sure those guys are set up to be successful. And I think everybody understands the power of our program and what, you know, the things that it's taught them during their time here. So I think when they do that and people are in the business world, having former Bearcats, they understand what they've gone through and kind of their walk of life in a little bit. So I think that helps, and that's part of what we talk about, is setting our guys up to have successful lives post-football and post-Northwest Missouri State.
And along those lines, Abe, let's kind of update folks on what you're doing. I understand you're still in the St. Louis area.
Still in the St. Louis area, happily married. I have a 2.5-year-old boy and another one on the way, maybe a girl. I'm in the financial world. I'm doing good. I'm just trying to focus on my health and mental health. But alluding to what Brandon said, Coach Clayton, he's absolutely right. You know, we were on itinerary here. We were disciplined. We learned how to get up early and stay late. And those are the same practices that are implemented me in today and has helped me become successful. And when I sit on the board and I see a lot of these guys that are former alumni, some are athletes and things, they're very successful too because of things that were installed in them here and the discipline that they learned from going to college and things. And it's really a special place and special way to grow and learn how to be, you know.
I don't imagine coming back, you'll have an opportunity to talk to some of the current guys this weekend too and maybe talk a little bit about post-football with them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, one thing I mentioned when I spoke to the team last time was when I took my pads off for the last time as a senior, that was a tough day. That was, and mentally, and it was, you know, and so you always got to give it your all and at every moment when you're on the field at any point because you never know when your last play is. And when it's over, you know, it's something you have to learn how to deal with when you get into the real world and money is the only objective now. You know, it's all about making money, building a family, making money, doing it, making. So when it was just about football, live that out as long as possible.
And again, this is one of those weekends that I think everybody looks forward to. Probably from a standpoint, of kind of a big relief after the game is over for you guys. But still, it's the atmosphere that's around Bearcat football on homecoming weekend. Of course, we don't see a lot of homecoming games on the road like we did maybe at one point. We're very few, not very often we're the homecoming opponent for teams. But when you just see that, what they do here at a Division II level for homecoming, I think it's something that's very special.
It's like a weekly event. It's crazy. I mean, there's things every day going on. You know, the variety show, the big parade, you know, and we got to do our part and go out and play well and win a football game, so.
Again, we are broadcasting from A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville on In the Trenches. We'll come back and wrap things up right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Today's broadcast is being underwritten by Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville, providing a wide selection of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs to customers across the Midwest, along with a service department and vehicle detailing on site. More information at tristatefordmaryville.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Northwest Cell, serving the region for over 30 years. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from United Country Property Solutions, LLC, welcoming Phil and Amy Schreck to the Maryville team. United Country Property Solutions specializes in selling land and country homes serving Missouri and Kansas. Brokers Bob Carlson and Dan McChristie.
Today's broadcast is underwritten by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Greek night every Friday, banquet rooms, and more. For additional information, agrestaurant.com.
And welcome back to A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville on In the Trenches as we wrap up the program. Again, Abe Quad, a former wide receiver for the Bearcats, with us tonight, along with Chad Bostrick, Zach Martin, and Brandon Clayton. And Abe, I think during the break you brought up a point, too, I think might be good to point out, too. What was it, the 85 season, where part of a team that had three losses still found a way to get to the national championship?
2005. You know,
yeah,
that
2005.
Was
2005. We're going back,
back a few years.
Yeah. Hey, the years go by quickly. I was doing them then too. So
I respect that. I respect that about you, John. I just remember the Road Dogs were created then. You know, there was a three-loss team. You know, people forget Pitt State and Washburn are always good teams. We didn't blow these teams out. Even in my time when we went undefeated throughout the MIAA, it wasn't always just 21-0 games. It was some tight games in there, some overtime wins, you know, so they lost a couple close ones this year, kind of like the 05 team. But hey, if you went on out and you get into the playoffs and you're hot, kind of like in the NFL or you know, you can go the whole way still. So I feel like this team has a lot of that grit and they have a lot of that talent, and it just really reminds me of that 05 team.
Yeah, and I think for the coaches here, that's something to kind of impart here for the rest of the season too, that there's an awful lot of football to be played yet this year.
There is, like we said earlier, it's, you know, we got to fight every week and kind of see what we're made of, you know, when our backs are against the wall and to me, that shows what kind of resolve we're going to have, you know. And we're all excited to see what happens, you know, see how it goes. So we get some of the pieces back that we've been missing. I think we can do some good things. So
again, Northeastern State is the opponent for homecoming on Saturday afternoon. How much of a factor for all you guys to throw out? Do you feel like this team has really grown here the last couple weeks? I know it was a tough loss to Pittsburgh State down there, but I thought that second half, there were some things that happened that really played into last week's win as well. Just talk about the growth factor you've seen in this team in the last couple weeks.
It's been really good. Obviously, we'd have liked to pull that game out versus Pittsburgh State, but the way our kids battled back in the second half, it gave us a chance to win that game, and who knows on that last play, you know, what happens. And then the same thing in the Washburn game. You know, they come out and play the way they did to finish the game when we're down, and kind of that's kind of, you know, us being a young team, but the way to battle back and never quit and keep fighting, I think can help us in our growth going forward and kind of allude to a lot of things Abe was talking about.
All right, well, guys, it's been great having you here on the show.
I appreciate it, John. Yeah, it was a good time. It.
You betcha. Again.
Great to have you on, Abe.
I got another hour in me, John. Let's do it.
I just want to give a shout-out to Urs Palmer. He's getting inducted into the M Club Hall of Fame, too, and he's not going to be able to be here. Talk to him a little bit earlier in the week. And, man, what a heck of a player he was.
Great player,
he was
great
a
guy.
Freshman,
yes.
When I was a senior, and, you know, our group kind of took him under our wing, and knowing that he was probably going to be a pretty good player, and he ended up having a great career. So
yeah, took his red shirt.
Yep.
Quiet assassin.
Mm-hmm. Great leader.
Going to be a lot of great players back this weekend.
No doubt.
Again, it's the homecoming game. 2 o'clock is kickoff time. Northwest and Northeastern State will be on the air at 1 o'clock with Bearcat Game Day from Bearcat Stadium. And that's coming up on Saturday. My thanks to Chad Bostwick, Zach Martin, Brandon Clayton, along with Abe Quad. I'm John Coffey, and so long from ANG.